We're now joined at the podium by Texas Longhorn coach Tom Herman. Coach, welcome, and your thoughts about the upcoming season.
Quick opening remarks, and then I'll open it up for questions. It's certainly great to be back in the Metroplex. I do want to thank the Big 12 and Commissioner Bowlesby for putting on another great event. I also do need to thank our fantastic president, Greg Fenves, as well as our new athletic director and a dear friend of mine, Chris Delcani. I firmly believe that coaches and players win games and administrations win championships. And I believe that in Greg Fenves and Chris Delcani and their teams and staffs that we do have a championship administration. It's been a fantastic year since the last time we were here. We've had our first winning season in 4 years. We had our first bowl victory since 2012. We retained all of our staff, including, in my opinion, the best defensive coordinator in college football in Todd Orlando, as well as, in my opinion, the best strength coach in college football in Yancey McKnight, as well as the addition of one of the best offensive line coaches in the country in Herb Hand. We signed a historic top five recruiting class of not just great players, but of fantastic young men that are our kind of players that fit our culture, as well as some tremendous families. And I do want to thank the coaches that helped us and guided them along the way, as well as all of the other people that were influential in that process. And with the leadership of Greg Fenves and Athletic Director Chris Delcani, we've begun plans to build for our student athletes, for our student body, for our fans, one of the finest facilities in the country. And we have had very little attrition on our roster this offseason. We had a tremendous amount of growth last season, although our record was not up to the championship expectations that we have at the University of Texas. I think that anybody that has watched us play, anybody that's been around our program, understands that we're playing harder, we're playing more physical, we're playing more cohesive than our program has in quite some time. Our theme this offseason has been two words: develop and finish. We want to, and develop is twofold. One, we want to develop positively better athletes in terms of getting bigger and stronger and faster. We want to develop as football players in terms of understanding the game and the techniques and the situations that arise in the game. And we want to develop as coaches. And a couple numbers that I want to throw out there for you. And this is, again, we still have about 2 weeks left of summer conditioning, but throughout the spring testing, and then when our newcomers came in, we tested them. We have, and let me read this, we have 60 members of our football team right now that can vertical jump over 30 inches. We have 42 players on our football team that can power clean over 300 pounds from the floor. We have 34 guys that can squat over 500 pounds. And we have 3 guys that actually can squat over 600 pounds. We've also worked extremely hard in developing relationships. And I believe, and I know that our players that are here today and our players back home in Austin believe that we are as close of a team as Texas has been in a long time. And that's not just player to player, but coach to player as well. Finish. We've also been training our guys how to finish. Every drill that we do, every workout that we have, everything that we do has a finish component to it, meaning we require our guys to be at their very best when the game is on the line, and I think our guys have really taken to that. They've embraced it, and they're excited about this season. And then lastly, I'm really excited to share with you our Forever Texas program, which is a life after football program, which is unique to the University of Texas, more so than anywhere in the country. We culminated our spring semester with a career fair that was for our football players only, which led to a bunch of our graduating seniors getting job offers. We had a bunch of guys that had internships throughout the city of Austin, throughout the state of Texas, as well as Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, and beyond. And we had multiple mission trips to countries abroad where we served other countries and helped them out, and I'm really proud of that. And then I just want to let you know that we are really excited about this season. Our culture is firmly ingrained. Our guys are in as good a shape as I've ever seen them. They're hungry to compete in the Big 12, which has done a fantastic job. This is a conference that from top to bottom has as much parity as anywhere in the country. And we also are one of the very few teams in the country to play 11 Power 5 opponents this year. So we understand the task at hand. We understand the challenge of our schedule, especially within our conference. But we also understand that we've got a team full of guys that are prepared to take it head on. And for those of you in the media, certainly do appreciate the job that you do in championing college football and the support that you give to these young men and the platform that you give them to play this great game and report on it and get the facts straight. And I do applaud you and thank you for being here.
Question. Hey, take questions. We're going to start up here on the third row. We got two questions up there, and then we'll move on the other parts. We got a question. A microphone coming to you right now. Go ahead, and then we'll let the other gentleman.
Jack Rogers, Reddit CFB. Have you had to make any significant changes after having a punter like Dixon leave, who could win games and like has won games for you?
Only to sign his cousin. from Australia. No, we haven't had any significant changes. We'll see how the punter does when the bullets are flying. There's 100,000 people in the stands, but had a great spring. Our scheme won't change, and I don't see any philosophical changes at all.
Question on the outside right.
Tom Richardson from Orange Voice. Hey, Coach, you said that you were going to evaluate Tim Beck as a play caller and then decide if you would be calling plays this season or if he would be. What kind of evaluation did you do? Will Tim Beck be calling plays to start the season? And if he does, how long or short will his leash be?
The good thing is we don't have to make that decision now in the middle of July. We're going to do whatever is best for the University of Texas and for our offense. Again, I have always been very intimately involved in the play calling on game day. There isn't a play that's called that I don't have veto power of. And so I think the true measure of an offense and its efficiency is one, the talent that is on the field, certainly. We played, again, there were multiple games where we started five true freshmen and a true sophomore. And, you know, there's an element to that that you're probably not going to light the world on fire on offense. And the best thing about true freshmen is they become sophomores and they develop and they learn how to finish. And so the way that we handle play calling is very collaborative. What we do throughout the week is much more important than the 3 hours on Saturday in terms of game planning, in terms of installation of the game plan, in terms of the knowledge and retention of our players of that game plan. So no decision has been made, nor do I feel any sense of urgency to have to do that.
Question on the rear left, and then we're going to come up to the middle for two questions.
Randy Peterson from the Des Moines Register. Tom, you talked about the instituting the job fair for players after the season. That's cool. What about players having the right to market their name, likeness, and you know, image during their college career? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are I think that within the current model that we have, we should do anything and everything we can for our student athletes. I think you see that push these last 5 years, 5-6 years, has been tremendous, from the cost of living allowance to the new redshirt rule that just passed that allows players four more extra games to play, from the new transfer rule. So we're doing a lot of things for student athlete welfare. The time demands have gone way down. We have eliminated two-a-days practices. We've shortened the length of training camp. So there's a number of things that we're doing within the current model that we can. And so as long as anything can fit within the current model of college football that benefits the student athlete, I'm all for it. Now, I'm not privy or intelligent enough or have the knowledge to know the ins and outs of whether that can or can't be done, but if it benefits a student athlete and it fits in the college football model, I'm all for it.
Got a question on the front, and then we'll move back to the middle.
Brandon Drum, 247. You have a really young quarterback room, Sam Ellinger, Cameron Rising, Case Thompson. Can you talk a little bit about each one of those guys and the differences that they bring to the table and kind of what you're looking for out of them come this season?
I feel like the two older guys, Ellinger, with the hard G, the two older guys in Bouchel and Ellinger really improved in the areas that we asked them to. With Sam, it was tightening his release up a little bit. You know, he had gotten into some bad habits. He broke his wrist his senior year in high school and never really felt healed totally, and he was gripping the ball a little bit different, worked his tail off, and he had made some throws this spring that I hadn't seen him make in the year that we'd been around him. And for Shane, it was to take charge of the offense, to be a real vocal leader, and to not just be a passive participant in each play, but to be the, as I tell him, you know, you're not the third string violinist, you're the conductor of the orchestra. And he really improved in that area. And then I'm telling you, those two young quarterbacks, those two freshmen, are gonna give those guys a run for their money as well. They came in, they should have been seniors in high school, and they came in, they did not look out of place. I think, you know, when you sign two quarterbacks and one is deemed a pro-style guy and the other is deemed a dual-threat guy, you think one can't run and the other one can't throw, and that's the farthest thing from the truth. Cameron Rising can run a lot better and move around a lot better than people think, and to be quite honest with you, Casey Thompson can throw the ball quite a bit better than people think. So I tell you what, it beats having a quarterback room with two scholarship players going through the entire season, and you know, for much of the season, one of those being injured and out of the game. So really one scholarship quarterback the entire season. So to have that depth in that room and the depth be as young as it is, just really excited about, you know, where that room is headed.
Question in the middle. Stand up, Kurt.
Hey, Tom. Kurt Bowles from the Austin American. Oklahoma had four All-Americans last year and came within an overtime of getting to the championship game. You had one All-American, a punter, who's gone. How many elite players do you feel like you have on this roster that can be difference makers and win championships?
Some. I don't know. You kind of put me on the spot there. I haven't tallied up difference makers and championship level guys, and I don't know that it's fair for me to give an assessment with the limited time that I have to think about that question. But I do think that there are guys on both sides of the ball, probably more, if I'm being honest, on defense than on offense right now. But we've also, again, signed a top five recruiting class too, and so I have yet to see those guys play a snap of college football or even practice in college football. So I do think that we have some. I think every coach that sits up here would tell you not enough. Even the ones that are playing for and winning national championships. But I do think that we're getting closer and closer to those elite programs in terms of the necessary elite championship caliber talent.
This is gonna be the final question for Coach.
Hey, Tom. Brian Davis.
Hey, Brian.
How are you?
Good.
This might be too simplistic, but it feels like this season comes down to whether you guys can run the ball and whether you can stop it. I mean, what's your feelings on the running backs And now going into August, you know, how do you make up for Puna Ford's departure?
I don't know that you do by committee, I guess is the best way to put it. You know, he's just, I've been around three truly great nose tackles in my life, Casey Hampton being one, Ed Oliver being two, and Puna Ford being three. And he is that elite, and he is that disruptive, or was that disruptive, I should say. I wish we had him and could refer to him in the present tense. But if we can get close to that kind of production, if we can make up for it with the veterans that we have at end, with you know Brecken Hager and Charles Amenihue, as well as Chris Nelson is here today representing us, I think he's going to slide down and play the nose guard position, and he's a guy that's got a lot of snaps under his belt and has really helped our program. But I've been around Todd Orlando for a long time, and knock on wood, stopping the run has never really been an issue, regardless of personnel. And then on offense, I think, you know, it's hard, regardless of who's playing running back, you know, to run the football if you've got such a mash unit of inexperience and injuries at offensive line. You know, we finished the spring with 8 scholarship offensive linemen. That's not enough. We'll get a couple back from injury, as well as the addition of Calvin Anderson, the grad transfer from Rice, and hopefully he helps out a lot. And you know, we've added 2 running backs to that room in terms of Keontae Ingram and Trey Watson. And then we've developed those guys, those veterans, Danny Young and Tennille Carter. They're not freshmen anymore, and Kyle Porter, and hopefully we get Kirk Johnson back healthy for the first time in his career, and Tristan Houston, and the list goes on. You know, that's a very deep room. It just has not been a room that's had a ton of talent separate itself, but we've certainly spent countless hours developing them, and I think the addition of Herb Hand with our offensive line and the improvement that they made this spring, especially the starting 5, should pay dividends. But you're right. I mean, we're not going to be as good as we hope to be if we can't run the ball.
Okay, Coach, thank you very much
for your answer. Thank you. Book 'em Horns.